Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the big sky. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh man, I literally just 2 seconds ago, I'm still trying to edit some sound bites here. Well, my goodness. Do we have a lot to talk about here on this Friday? This is going to be one of those Fridays where 4 hours of this show and we're not going to have time to cover it all. But yeah, it was kind of funny. I was just on X checking in there, seeing what's happening, grabbing a couple more audio clips and things like that. And I saw our friend David Noble. He's already up and rolling this morning. And he's like, man, with everything going on in the news, I'm surprised Aaron didn't reach out to ask me to guest host the show. Yeah, it seems like every time I, you know, take a 3-day weekend or something like that, you know, we had graduation last weekend. It seems like there's just like this explosion of massive news to talk about. And so, yeah, I'm sure David's just sitting back like, oh, I wish I was on the radio today. And it's like, well, call in, David. Come on down, man. Hey, you don't have to wait for an invite, you know, and not even just David Noble. I mean, hey, you guys can call into this show. This is, I think, probably the easiest way to be heard in all of America right here is this show. And where anybody calls in, I don't know if there's ever a time, unless it was because of timing or we had a guest on or whatever, but pretty much anybody wants to be on and be heard, gets a chance to be heard. That's why this whole Padilla guy, nobody even knows who this guy is. Nobody even knew who this guy was yesterday. This story, I'm sure you guys already saw it and heard a little bit about it here. So I see this newsflash come across X, and you see some nut job fighting with law enforcement, fighting with Secret Service, apparently fighting with the FBI. The Secretary of Homeland Security is conducting a press conference with other major players in federal law enforcement. She's speaking live in front of all these TV cameras, conducting a press conference, and then some nut job starts screaming and shouting, tries to bum rush the podium for the Homeland Security Secretary in the middle of her remarks, and everybody's like, what the heck is going on over here? And look at all the threats facing law enforcement. Look at all the threats facing the Trump administration and Trump himself. Trump was nearly assassinated, and now you've got somebody trying to bum rush one of his cabinet members. And then when, you know, security pushes him back and says, hey, he starts fighting and wrestling with the security, which is likely Secret Service or other law enforcement that are trying to step in to make sure that, you know, this threat against this perceived threat against the Homeland Security. Anyway, it turns out that this nut job trying to bum rush the secretary and then fighting with law enforcement is a California Democrat senator. And when I first heard this and first saw the video, I thought, oh, man, this must be some dumbass state senator from California. He's a United States senator. A United States senator tried to bum rush a cabinet member and then started fighting with federal law enforcement. They had to wrestle the guy to the ground and put cuffs on the jack wagon. This freaking clown. Yeah, apparently, he's a Democrat Senator Padilla from California. I had no idea who the guy was. I don't think anybody had any idea who this guy was. Oh, but look at the stunt and look at the canned response. Cory Booker was nearly in tears on the floor of the Senate. And Padilla himself, he's a pretty big guy. He was about crying afterwards, too, after he got manhandled by the little guy.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, a slight chance for an isolated shower storm ending early on, then becoming partly sunny. A chance for some more late-day scattered storms developing. Some of those late-day storms possibly strong to severe, with high temperatures in the lower 80s for Bozeman, mid-80s for Billings. For tonight, still a chance for some scattered strong storms, especially in the evening. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Securing America.
The key to the future of America's defense may not be on the ground, on the sea, or in the air, but in outer space. During a recent House Armed Services Subcommittee hearing, Space Force Chief of Operations General Chance Saltzman said that
never before in our history has space been more critical to the future of our nation.
General Saltzman testifying that space, via satellites, provides military needs ranging from GPS to communications to weapons targeting.
It is imperative that we match the dramatic rise in threats and increasing importance of space with resources to arm the Space Force effectively.
He adds that thus far, the Space Force has been a relative bargain.
At a cost of only about 3% of the larger DoD budget and with less than 1% of the personnel.
But says the bottom line is,
we must be able to control the space domain, protecting our capabilities in space while denying an adversary the ability to use space against us.
Kidding me, that's Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, I finally just got one more audio clip edited here. Oh my goodness, Jesse Waters, what a powerful segment all around last night. We've got, you know, this Padilla stunt. That's the Democrat senator from California. We've got that to talk about. We've got the big news out of Iran, of course. Israel. Launching a preemptive strike against the Iranian nuclear sites yesterday. So that's a big story. We've got great audio. Ted Cruz was on with Sean Hannity last night. It sounds like they wiped out all of the senior leadership of the IRGC, which is basically the terrorist chain of command for the terrorist regime in Tehran, which apparently was so danger close to getting their hands on nuclear missiles. And these nut jobs in Tehran would have no concern whatsoever launching nukes at us here in the United States of America and certainly at our friends in Israel. And so apparently the threat was so imminent to stop them from getting one of the most insane regimes on the planet, in the history of the planet as well, from getting their hands on nuclear missiles that Israel had to act anyway. We're going to talk about that, of course, as well. But let's see. Yeah, this Padilla stunt, this Democrat senator. Jesse Waters gives a little bit of the background here on how it rolled out. Let's see here. Where are we at? Little background. Okay, Jesse Waters giving the background, the story, what happened on this stunt by Padilla. And then you can hear some of the audio, too, as he starts wrestling with law enforcement.
Now Democrat senators are joining the riots. Alex Padilla, the senator from California, got handcuffed inside of a federal building this afternoon for lunging at a cabinet secretary. Kristi Noem was in Los Angeles giving a press conference about the riots when the senator barged in and ran at her yelling and screaming.
Sir, hands up. I'm Senator Alex Padilla. I have questions for the secretary because the fact of the matter is a half a dozen violent criminals that you're rotating on your...
On your back.
Lay it on my hands. Go ahead. Right, hand behind right, my back.
All right. Cool. Okay, one hand. Lay flat.
Other hand, sir.
Democrats must have known about the stunt ahead of time because within minutes, Newsom yelled dictator and Congress burst out of their offices.
I just saw something that sickened my stomach. The manhandling of a United States senator. We need immediate answers to what the hell went on.
As if made to kneel before the authority of the executive. Because he was so-called disrespectful. If you can make Alex Padilla forcibly kneel before this executive, when does it stop?
Oh, cry me a river, Booker, you freaking clown. That was one of John Tester's buddies right there, one of his best buddies in the United States Senate. Give me a break. What a bunch of freaking clowns. Absolute clownery on display. Look, here's the deal. So I saw Democrat State Senator Ellie Boldman out of Missoula. You know, she shared a tweet about, you know, back when Marjorie Taylor Greene, the Republican out of Georgia, was heckling Joe Biden during the State of the Union address. And then, you know, one of these left wingers says, well, I don't remember MTG ever being forcibly removed and handcuffed after heckling during Biden's State of the Union. And then I threw this question out. I said, did MTG bum rush the president at the podium and then fight with the sergeant at arms or Secret Service after they were trying to keep her from, you know, lunging at the president of the United States or a cabinet member? No. I mean, these people are actually nuts. And here's the deal. They're saying, well, if they would do this to a United States senator, they would do this to anyone. This United States senator has less of an excuse than anybody else out there, because that, as a United States senator, he has more power and more access to get a hold of these officials practically whenever he wants to. The everyday man on the street doesn't get to pick up the phone and call the secretary, doesn't have the secretary come to their office for a meeting prior to a confirmation hearing, doesn't have the secretary appear before their committee meetings to answer questions. This guy has less of an excuse for showing up unannounced without wearing his official United States Senate pin. They don't know who he is. He can claim to be anybody can claim to be whoever they want to claim. He bum rushes the Homeland Security Secretary, former South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, and then starts fighting with the law enforcement. Absolute clownery. And the guy is a United States senator. And he did it all for attention. You guys know how much I try to follow, you know, this news and this stuff. I totally didn't even know who this Padilla guy was. Who's the other California senator? You remember it used to be Barbara Boxer and Di-Fi and then Kamala. Yeah, I remember John Tester recruited Kamala to the Senate. And these new Democrat senators from California, I mean, it's like, who knows who these guys are? Adam Schiff, he's the other one. That's right, I forgot about that one. You know, give me a freaking... He has less than an excuse. Everyday men on the street shouldn't be bum-rushing the secretary and fighting with law enforcement either. But if they get a little worked up and want to ask a question of a federal official, they don't get to do that. They don't have the access that this clown from California has. It just shows what an absolute Adam Schiff show the entire Democrat Party is, that they would even justify that kind of behavior.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
In these days of culture wars, you commonly hear disdain for those who don't work. Those who use the social safety net to maintain an acceptable lifestyle that doesn't involve holding a job are rarely respected, yet their behavior may be perfectly rational. That's because of something economists call implicit taxes. What, we may ask, does a person or family actually receive by earning an additional dollar of wages? Because of the myriad of cash supplement, housing assistance, child care subsidies, and other safety net programs out there that are income-based, the answer may surprise you. There are so many rules to all these programs. Social Security alone has 27-28 primary rules. That perhaps would make it more surprising if it were otherwise. The thresholds where earning an extra dollar incurs a penalty or puts you in a different rate bracket are incredibly harsh. Start making money and those implicit taxes add up to a lot. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The big, beautiful bill became the big, throbbing migraine for congressional Republicans. That's thanks to the big, ugly brawl between President Trump and Elon Musk. It started with a hang-up between congressional Republicans and Musk over the big, beautiful bill. Musk characterized it as a disgusting abomination. He then turned on all 215 House Republicans who voted yes on the bill last month. The Congressional Budget Office analysis of the big, beautiful bill found that it adds $2.3 trillion to the deficit over a decade. But Republicans say those figures are wrong. The CBO also issued an analysis analysis specific to President Trump's tariffs. The CBO projects a $3 trillion decrease in deficits over the next decade because of the tariffs. The CBO cannot evaluate the tariffs under the Big Beautiful Bill because, well, they're not part of the legislation. But proponents of the Big Beautiful Bill say that measure, coupled with the tariffs, decreases deficits by $500 billion over the next decade. Republicans believe the CBO estimate about the deficit is what set off Elon Musk. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Do you see Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network? I'm Lee Nordblond. Well, this week, the national winter wheat crop ratings have improved significantly, with 54% of the crop now rated in good to excellent condition. Now, this is the highest for early June in 6 years. This marks a major turnaround from last fall's second worst ever ratings and boosts U.S. export prospects heading into next year. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
As we look at the winter wheat conditions and concerns for that pretty much mature crop in the south sitting in wet fields, at this point we're not seeing a real national effect on that. Pretty steady on the wheat conditions, 54% good to excellent, 16% very poor to poor, only small changes from last week as you would expect this time of year. As the season winds down, we see roughly a fifth of the crop, 22%, rated very poor to poor in Montana, where it's still not fully mature. As you move further south, pretty well locked in, 19% very poor to poor in top producer Kansas. And we see similar numbers as you move into Texas, where the crop is basically mature, just waiting to be harvested. 25% of the crop in Texas rated very poor to poor.
So far, around 4% of the nation's winter wheat has been harvested as of Sunday. Rippey says things continue to be tough for spring wheat.
They look at the spring wheat numbers for the week ending June 8th. We finished up, obviously, with the planting last week. So looking at the spring wheat emergence numbers, 82% of the crop emerged by June 8th, 1 point ahead of average, 4 points behind last year's 86%. Crop is fully emerged now in Minnesota, South Dakota, and Washington. But we are seeing some delays in emergence due to drought in Montana. Just 63% emerged, 5-year average, 87%. And speaking of drought, that is pulling the condition down in some areas, notably in Montana. Overall, just 53% of the spring wheat rated good to excellent, 9% very poor to poor. And while that does represent an improvement from last week when we were at 50% good to excellent and 13% very poor to poor, there are those concerns. Montana wheat currently rated 26% poor, none of it very poor. And I do want to point out, last year at this time, the much better rated spring wheat crop was 72% good to excellent and just 3% very poor to poor on a national basis.
Don't go away. We'll break down the latest WASDE report next.
At Montana Livestock Ag Credit, we take a lot of satisfaction in being able to help ag grow in Montana. Whether that be helping an existing operation expand or getting the next generation started, we accomplish this by offering competitive interest rates and knowledgeable loan officers with service at your doorstep. If you're looking to grow or get started, give myself, Chance Merrill, a call at 1-800-332-3405 or check us out at ag-credit.com.
Cattle producers, take advantage of this red-hot cattle market and consign your calves and yearlings in Superior Livestock Auctions Week in the Rockies sale. Now, this year's sale runs July 7th through the 11th in Steamboat Springs, Colorado at the Steamboat Grand. However, the consignment deadline is fast approaching. It's Friday, June 20th. So contact your Superior rep today. You can also call toll-free 800-422-2117 or visit SuperiorLivestock.com.
In yesterday's World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates report, USDA raised its 2024 through 25 U.S. wheat export estimate up 800 million bushels in May to 820 million. For the 25 through 26 beginning stock average, it remained unchanged at 841 million bushels. Production and yield projections also held steady at 1.921 billion bushels and 51.6 bushels per acre. Ending stocks were lowered to 898 million bushels, down from 923 million. The average farm gate price rose a dime to $5.40 a bushel. I'm Lee Northland, Western Ag Network.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Let's see. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Plus, let me go check the messages on the Montana Talks app. Right on, John is right on with this one. He sends us this message from Los Angeles.
You may have to plant a tree to print up everything important in the news this morning. Yeah, right on with that one. Tim in Savage sent us this before the show started here this morning. He says, I'm waiting for Trump to be blamed for the plane crash in 3, 2. Yeah, you guys hear about that plane crash in India. This is insane. There is a lone survivor from the plane crash in India. All right, since Tim brought it up here, this is a crazy story. Let me see here. Where do I have it? It's a Fox News soundbite. They interviewed the brother of the lone survivor, because I don't think the lone survivor speaks English. I saw a video of him walking away from the crash after they apparently pulled him out of there. But yeah, a lone survivor. Here's his brother describing the scene.
And then literally like 2 minutes later, he video called my dad. As he crashed, he said, plane's crashed, all of that. I don't know where my brother is. I don't see any other passengers. I don't know how I'm alive, how I exited the plane.
Yeah, crazy. A lone survivor who walked away from that plane crash in India. But, you know, I was thinking about it when I read that message on the Montana Talks app there from Tim in Savage, that, you know, Donald Trump is like this lone survivor as well. I mean, you look at obviously, you know, in a different, more figurative way, although, hey, he survived the assassin's bullet, so it's not really just figurative either. But look at all of the media personalities who saw their downfall during the Trump era. And the Trump era is really like the last 10 plus years, because of just everything they've tried to throw at Donald J. Trump. And that's why when these guys clutch their pearls over this Padilla stunt in L.A., they're making, give me a break. Everything you guys did to this country, everything you guys did to Trump, everything you guys did to, you know, Catholics, I mean, pick your group, peaceful pro-life protesters. But Trump is this lone survivor. I mean, look at even some of the oldest establishment Republicans who are now not a part of the current establishment. Raise your hands. By the way, this whole idea, I see these virtue signaling conservatives out there. Oh, I'm not part of the establishment. Oh, so you don't support Donald J. Trump then? Because here's the deal. When you win elections, you become a part of the establishment. Donald J. Trump and the Make America Great Again agenda is the establishment right now. So if you're running against the establishment, I'm just saying. But look at all these media personalities, these fake phony conservatives who have now been kicked to the curb because of their Trump derangement syndrome. Donald Trump is the lone survivor who continues to fight for America. Anyway, Tim, thanks for that message. Hey, man, we got a lot more to talk about back in 60 seconds after the... Yeah, some of the big Israel news there that you're hearing. Hey, do you guys remember, speaking of President Trump, do you remember when President Trump gave his... It wasn't officially a State of the Union address. It was, they called it a joint address to Congress, a joint session of Congress, basically. Anyway, President Trump gave his big speech earlier this year. And remember how all the congressional Democrats held up their stupid little placards? And then that's when the Photoshoppers on X went to work. And they put different words on the little placards, the little hand cards that the Democrats were holding up. They re-upped the placards. Who was it? You know, one of the squad members, one of the Democrat squad members who was holding up the placards, they changed the placard to now say, "All my friends are dead," because all of the Iranian terrorist regime leaders were apparently killed by our friends in Israel yesterday, as they also took out significant chunks of the Iranian nuclear weapons infrastructure. So they changed the placard to say, "All my friends are killed, all my friends are dead," because, you know, the Democrats have basically been the ones funding Iran. And that's the other thing. I'll talk more about the Iran news here after the next break here. But that's the other thing here. Have you noticed how, like, your liberal friends on Facebook and X, now that Israel struck back at Iran, and their nuclear facilities and their senior terrorist leaders. The Democrats are saying, oh, Trump's going to get us into a war. Joe Biden already got that war going when he funded the Iranian regime and when Iran already was behind all of these attacks on Israel. That war started on October 7th. While Joe Biden was the president, not while Donald J. Trump was the president of the United States. Just to be absolutely freaking clear here with these people trying to pump out phony narrative after phony narrative after phony narrative. All right, here's Jesse Waters. Let's go back to this clown show, Padilla in California.
The FBI says Padilla never identified himself and wasn't wearing his Senate security pin. And no one recognized him because no one knows who Senator Padilla is. He's the least recognized senator in the entire Senate. I'm sorry. So a guy wearing street clothes barges into a press conference just yards away from a cabinet secretary and starts lunging at her and screaming. Secretary Noem Security saw him as a threat, and he pushed the federal officers back. He could have been a stalker, an impersonator, or any Yahoo off the street. Trump was just shot. You can't have random people lunging at cabinet secretaries. These are the people who say no one's above the law. They arrested Trump four times and charged him with 94 crimes. But they think being pushed out of a room crossed a line?
All right, well said by Jesse Waters. Like I say, his segment last night, man, I pulled three or four sound bites just from that alone, including one of President Trump talking about this radical left-wing No Kings protest scheduled for tomorrow, even in Montana.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, I had a great email that came in late last night as well. This one came from Matt in Butte, listening to 1370 KXTL. But yeah, great message here from Matt. So there was a ruling earlier this week from another judge that basically shot down an effort by California's Governor Gavin Newsom to halt the National Guard deployment to Los Angeles to stop the riots and to protect L.A. from the rioters. Yeah, the governor of California doesn't even want to protect his own cities. It's all about standing up to Trump, of course, and protecting criminal illegal aliens. But anyway, now there was a judge out of San Francisco, a federal judge in San Francisco. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Now just said, oh, Trump's deployment, the commander-in-chief deploying the National Guard to Los Angeles, it's illegal. It's illegal. I'm calling a stop to it. And now don't worry that the Trump administration has already appealed that laughable ruling from that joke of a judge in San Francisco all the way up to the Ninth Circuit. But, man, the Ninth Circuit is a bit of a hit-or-miss train wreck as well, so it might have to go all the way to the United States Supreme Court. But Matt in Butte made a really good point. He says, imagine how pleased George Wallace and the Klan would have been if some judge had ordered the National Guard to stand down so they could continue to block the black students from attending school. I mean, Gavin Newsom, he does. He looks like another George Wallace Democrat, doesn't he? Yeah, standing up to the National Guard and standing up to the feds so they can defend criminals on American soil, so they can keep terrorists on American soil, rapists, murderers, you name it. Great message there from Matt in Butte. Thanks for sending that one. Okay, let me see. So tomorrow, June 14th. Obviously, the biggest news is that tomorrow is the United States Army's 250th birthday. 250th birthday of the United States Army. So happy birthday out there to all of you U.S. Army soldiers and veterans in particular, all who've served, and especially your families who have sacrificed. And then, of course, it's Flag Day. So many great reasons to have a big parade tomorrow. President Trump having the military parade in Washington. What a great way to celebrate 250 years of our United States Army, something that should be celebrated. And
and all leading into and kicking off, of course, next year, which is the 250th birthday of the United States of America. But it's also President Trump's birthday tomorrow, too. So the far-left activists who are rallying for the criminal illegal aliens and so much more, they're holding what they call the No Kings protests. And I think there's – how many of them are planned? I know I printed up a story. Of course, I still haven't even gotten organized with my stack of stuff for the day yet here. But there's a bunch of them that are planned across Montana. It looks like they already had an anti-ICE, a defund ICE rally in Whitefish by, you know, the Rainbow Police were out with their rainbow flags and their defund ICE, who knows, whatever other woke virtue signaling. InfoWars actually picked up a story on that, of the anti-ICE protest in the resort town of Whitefish. But this whole No Kings protest, really what it is a no country, no borders. Because if you don't have a border, you don't have a country. That's what this is. This isn't about not having kings in America. This is about not having borders, which means not having the United States of America. But would that surprise you that these people don't want a United States of America? I mean, they're the ones that are always bashing America. They're the ones that are saying how awful America is. They're the ones that call America a fundamentally racist country. So, of course, they don't want borders because they don't want this country. Here's another great Jesse Waters clip. He shared some of the reaction of President Trump talking about this protest tomorrow.
No Kings protests planned across the country on Saturday as well. What are your thoughts on those?
What do they call it? No Kings?
No Kings.
I don't feel like a king. I have to go through hell to get stuff approved. A king would say,
All right, I must have been recording some other audio in the background of that one. Okay, let me see. That's what I get for trying to pack so much in during my show prep. I think I must have fast forwarded the tape there because I was listening and I was like, wow, that's such a good soundbite. Okay, here I think here's the President Trump soundbite in full without the commercial playing over the top of it. Apologize for that one.
They're calling ICE the Gestapo and Trump a king because they want their berries picked.
No Kings protests planned across the country on Saturday as well. What are your thoughts on those?
What do they call it? No Kings?
No Kings.
I don't feel like a king. I have to go through hell to get stuff approved. A king would say, I'm not going to get this. A king would have never had the California mandate to even be talking to him. He wouldn't have to call up Mike Johnson and Thune and say, fellas, you got to pull this off. And after years, we get it done. No, we're not a king. We're not a king at all.
A king would have Senator Padilla thrown in a dungeon. But he's not in a dungeon. He sat down with the secretary for a while, and then he held a press conference, and then he went on CNN and MSNBC. If Trump's a king, he's doing a terrible job.
Yeah, who are the wannabe dictators, the wannabe kings, the wannabe monarchs in America? It's these far-left liberal judges who are actually the ones, you know, they shriek and shrill democracy all the time. You know what democracy just did? Democracy voted for what is taking place in L.A. right now. Democracy said, get these criminal illegal aliens out of here. Democracy said, we want Donald J. Trump to be the president of the United States of America in this great republic that we live in. That's what your democracy said and called for. All right, let's see. Should we do one more? Yeah, the whole thing was just a stunt. This Democrat senator bum-rushing the Secretary of Homeland Security, looked like some freak off the street. Security did the right thing, protecting President Trump's cabinet member and other federal law enforcement in the room. It was all a stunt. Here's Ben Domenech from The Federalist. He was on Fox shortly after that whole story broke yesterday.
Well, I think certainly this was a situation that went wrong from the perspective of a lot of different sides here. But one in particular that I just have to point out is I think that the senator wanted something to happen here. There's a reason why you don't start this situation by identifying yourself. There's a reason why you don't have in advance a conversation saying, hey, I'm going to be here at the same time Christine Ohm is here. I want to sit down and have a conversation with her about what's going on in California. He claims that he didn't know that she just happened to be in the building at the same time for a press conference. He interrupts the press conference. He does so without announcing who he actually is. And Secret Service, I think, is on, quite frankly, they are on a little bit of alert here because of the way that ICE agents have been targeted, the way that the president himself has been targeted, the way that they feel the obligation to protect their principal. And so I actually don't judge the agents in this situation for reacting the way they did to someone who they clearly did not recognize, who was not wearing anything identifying.
He wasn't wearing his Senate pin.
And he was not wearing a Senate pin. And a little thing about that, Aisha, as you know, if you wear a pin that is round in, or similarly shaped as a man in the early days of a new Congress, you will frequently get called representative or congressman, as I have been on multiple occasions.
And maybe they just didn't know who he was.
Yeah, great point. There's 435 members of the House of Representatives and 100 senators. But any one of those 535 people show up and try to bum rush the cabinet member in the middle of a press conference and then they fight with law enforcement, any one of those 535 should be thrown to the ground and cuffed. And then they should face severe consequences when they get back to the Capitol. What a clown show. All right, what about Israel? What about the big news last night? Israel launching a preemptive strike to wipe out the nuclear weapons capability in Tehran. They also wiped out several top terrorist leaders in the IGRC. I've got a Hannity clip here. I think this is the one. Here we go. I know we're short on time.
The enrichment level was too great. The breakout time was less than a month. They would have the 15 nuclear weapons. The Israelis are not lying about it. And I have to believe those people that believe in a caliphate, convert or die, and threaten to wipe Israel and the U.S. off the map, based on also being the number one state sponsor of terror, if they got the weapon, they'd use it. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. You're absolutely right. I believe this was inevitable, and it was rendered more inevitable today by decisions of the Ayatollah in Iran. Listen, President Trump has been clear for a long time that his red line is that Iran must completely dismantle their nuclear capacity, must disassemble their nuclear centrifuges where they are enriching uranium. And President Trump made clear they could either do so peacefully through diplomacy or those centrifuges would be dismantled kinetically through military conflict. We're seeing the latter tonight. And this morning, Iran publicly stated no, they would not dismantle their centrifuges. And in fact, they said they would build more, they would enrich more. The Ayatollah made the decision, we are going to plunge head first towards getting a nuclear weapon. And basically, Iran gave the middle finger to President Trump. And Iran told Israel, you better strike us now, because if you don't do it soon, we will have a nuclear weapon.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I have a list of the crimes of the people that ICE has been arresting in Los Angeles. People guilty of homicide, burglary, drug dealing, lewd actions with children, battery, lewd and lascivious acts with a child under 14. People that are involved in injuring, their spouses, spousal abuse, weapons possession, human smuggling, grand theft, threatening crime with intent to terrorize and battery. Those are the people that have been arrested. And, nobody wants to talk about, well, the little children are being, no, they're not the ones that are the target of ICE.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Crime continues to go up. Violence is happening in small towns and big cities all around the country. That means that you need something on you at all times. Now, Byrna, BYRNA, they want you to conceal everywhere you go, and that's why they made their brand new compact launcher, touted as the world's smallest, less lethal pistol launcher. Now, it's the same size as a smartphone with the firepower that you will need to stop an attacker right in their tracks. Now, it's equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammunition. It's designed to incapacitate any attacker for up to 40 minutes. Now, the compact launcher is perfect for women that want protection but don't want to carry a firearm. And if you're traveling this summer, Byrna is legal in all 50 states. Byrna requires no background check. It can be shipped directly to your door. and Burner is proudly American. Each unit hand-assembled in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Go to Burner, BYRNA.com today, or try before you buy. Find a Burner dealer partner near you. That's BYRNA.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, a slight chance for an isolated shower storm ending early on, then becoming partly sunny. A chance for some more late-day scattered storms developing. Some of those late-day storms possibly strong to severe. We'll have high temperatures in the lower 80s for Bozeman, mid-80s for Billings. For tonight, still a chance for some scattered strong storms, especially in the evening. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Hey, you guys have got to watch this trailer for The Real Yellowstone, a film that's coming out soon. It highlights the real ranchers of Montana and the battles they face to hold on to their land. Tom Opry is an outdoor filmmaker based in Montana's Flathead Valley. You got to check out this trailer. I think they're going to have a big premiere coming up in Bozeman very soon. Featured front and center is this battle with the APR to kick the ranchers off the land. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com, the trailer and more.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszloffy.
In what turned out to be a case of ironic timing, the Montana Family Foundation this week filed a major legal challenge seeking to overturn CI 128, the radical constitutional amendment passed by voters in November that legalized abortion up to the moment of birth. The petition was filed by Montana Family Foundation's chief legal counsel, Derek A. Stryker, on the same day that the Montana Supreme Court upheld a district court ruling that nullified three pro-life bills passed during the 2021 legislative session. Holding to its policy of legalized abortion at any time and for any reason, the Supreme Court even tossed a new law that banned abortion after 20 weeks of gestation, the point of viability where a child with proper care stands a chance of surviving outside the womb. This is nothing new. Pro-abortion justices are placed on the Supreme Court with the help of campaign funds donated by Planned Parenthood and other pro-abortion mega donors. It's safe to say that the majority of justices on the Montana Supreme Court are bought and paid for by the pro-abortion lobby, and they're doing exactly what they were hired to do. The petition filed by A. Stryker on Monday is timely because CI 128 is set to become effective in July. In this case, we're asking the Supreme Court to exert original jurisdiction and take this case directly rather than going through the district courts. In terms of strategy, and given this court's history of rulings on this subject, it was decided to challenge the process rather than the subject of abortion. In our opinion, CI 128 was legally insufficient in several ways, one of which was the election process itself, which violates Article 14, Section 9, Subsection 3 of the Montana Constitution, which requires that, quote, the proposed amendment be presented to the qualified voters for approval or rejection. This never happened with CI 128. Rather than the actual text of the amendment, what voters saw was a short explanatory statement of the amendment that was actually written by the pro-abortion lawyers and approved by the Montana Supreme Court after they rejected the ballot statement written by the Attorney General. Montana's current constitution was written in 1972 and for the first time in our history gave the people the power to amend the constitution through the initiative process. The first attempt came in 1974 and the second in 1976. In both cases, the full text of the amendment appeared on the ballot itself. In 1977, the legislature amended the election statutes to allow for a short ballot statement. In the 1980s, the Supreme Court overturned a voter-passed initiative because the full text was not made available to voters as required in 14-9-2. They said the public has a right to know exactly what they're voting for, and that same logic applies here. To complicate matters, we enacted same-day voter registration back in 2006. Some will argue that the full text of a constitutional amendment would be published in the Secretary of State's voter information pamphlet, which is then sent to all qualified voters prior to the elections, thus satisfying the requirement in 14-9-3. But what about those Montanans who register and vote on the same day? They never have the opportunity to view the full amendment prior to voting, which is exactly what happened to our two co-plaintiffs in this case. At this point, the court has several options. They can take up the case as requested, or they can tell us to refile in district court, in which case the amendment will take effect before the case is decided. In either case, if they allow the amendment to stand, then CI 128 would have amended the Constitution twice, once with regard to abortion, and the other regarding what voters actually see on the ballot. In either case, it would be a travesty, and we're doing everything in our power to stop it from happening. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laslaffy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, great report once again from Jeff Laslaffy with the Montana Family Foundation. By the way, we had his chief legal counsel, Derek A. Stryker, on the show earlier this week talking about the big news out of the Montana Supreme Court. Well, the not so big, not surprising news out of the Montana Supreme Court, but big news that came from the Family Foundation and their petition. So it's on the Montana Talks podcast if you missed it.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
In these days of culture wars, you commonly hear disdain for those who don't work, those who use a social safety net to maintain an acceptable lifestyle that doesn't involve holding a job are rarely respected, yet their behavior may be perfectly rational. That's because of something economists call implicit taxes. What, you may ask, does a person or family actually receive by earning an additional dollar of wages? Because of the myriad of cash supplement, housing assistance, child care subsidies, and other safety net programs out there that are income-based, the answer may surprise you. There are so many rules to all these programs. Social Security alone has 27-28 primary rules. That perhaps would make it more surprising if it were otherwise. The thresholds where earning an extra dollar incurs a penalty or puts you in a different rate bracket are incredibly harsh. Start making money and those implicit taxes add up to a lot. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.